Our reading tonight comes from the book of St. John, beginning in the 6th chapter. I'm reading directly from the Bible, so the words may not be exactly as you see on the screen. Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." At this, the Jews began to grumble about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." The people said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I came down from heaven'? Stop grumbling among yourselves," Jesus answered. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They will all be taught by God.' Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. The bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." This is the gospel of the Lord. In 1968, McDonald's had about 1,000 restaurants. Today it has about 36,000 restaurants. And they roughly open 1,000 new ones each year. An estimated one in seven Americans has worked at McDonald's. The company manually trains more new workers than the entire U.S. Army. McDonald's is the nation's largest purchaser of beef and potatoes and the second largest purchaser of poultry. In fact, a whole new breed of chicken was developed to facilitate the production of McNuggets. The McDonald's Corporation is the largest owner of retail property in the world, earning the majority of its profits not from selling food, but from collecting rent. McDonald's spends more money on advertising and marketing than does any other brand, much of it targeted at children. A survey of American school children found that 96% could identify Ronald McDonald. The only fictional character with a higher degree of recognition was Santa Claus. Its corporate symbol, the Golden Arches, is now more widely recognized than the Christian cross. The impact of McDonald's on the nation's culture, economy, and diet is hard to be overstated. Clearly, not everyone is watching his or her eating habits, necessitating a diet health food industry that brings in billions, with a B, billions of dollars every year. Gwen Shamblin wrote The Weight Down Diet. It markets itself as an inspirational way to lose weight, stay slim, and find a new you. It advises using spirituality to avoid overeating. One way is to have people turn to their spiritual selves to strengthen and maintain their diet plans, taking a sort of "what would Jesus eat" approach to dieting, and helping them to stick to their regime. The bottom line is that people are scrambling like crazy to find the diet that's right for them. There are the raw food diets that allow only uncooked food, The caveman diet, which pushes only what Pleistocene people ate. And the body code by Jay Cooper, an approach that divides dieters into warriors, nurturers, communicators, and visionaries. What those four categories have to do with dieting, I have no idea. But there's another diet that we heard about this evening that not many people talk about. It is the bread of life diet. It's spiritually high carb, but offers full nutritional value. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life," and promises that people on this program will never hunger or thirst again. These are extravagant claims, like the kind you might find on soy milk or fat burner pills. But Jesus can deliver on what he promises. "I am the living bread that came down from heaven," claims Jesus, in front of a very skeptical crowd. "I'm like the manna sent to the Israelites, but even better, whoever eats this bread will have everlasting life. And I am a complete and well-balanced spiritual meal, both high carb and high protein, because the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh," says Jesus. The crowd's mutterings against Jesus in today's reading apparently stem from their inability to perceive Jesus and his words as nothing other than literal. In verse 42, the Jews base their complaint against Jesus' claim to be the bread that came down from heaven on the fact that they know him from his childhood. They know his family home, they know his parents, they know his earthly roots. John, who provides his readers with no infancy narrative and no virgin birth scenarios, is unconcerned with Jesus' earthly physical history. It's unimportant to John. Jesus makes explicit the difference between the manna and the bread that he now offers. Those Israelites who ate the manna eventually suffered death, that is, physical death. The bread of life Jesus offers promises deliverance from death, with John using the Greek word apothein, which implies a more spiritual rather than physical understanding of death. That John is speaking of spiritual deliverance here is made even clearer in John chapter 11. When Jesus talks to Martha regarding the death of her brother Lazarus. "I am the resurrection and the life," Jesus says. "The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you," Jesus asks, "believe this?" One cannot somehow avoid genuine physical death if they are participants in the bread of life. But before my allegory gets out of hand, let me recap. Jesus said he is the bread of life. He's telling us that without him we cannot be healthy and we cannot be whole. A life of meaning and mission is not possible without recovering Jesus as our spiritual center. That point is as important today as it was back then. We tend to get our emotional and our spiritual food from sources that do not make us whole. Some of us spend up to 5 hours a week on the internet, sometimes more. Sociologists call this an alarming antisocial trend. We are hounded by hundreds of commercial advertisements a day, which shape and inform our perception of reality. We watch television too much, and we don't read enough. We have what James Glick in his book Faster calls hurry sickness. We have so much to do that we feed on all the wrong things. The secret to being full and satisfied is to hunger on the right things. The invitation from the lips of Jesus is to feed on him as the bread of life. To do so is never to hunger or thirst again. Novelist and former New York Times columnist Anna Quindlen captured this well in a commencement address at Villanova University when she said this: "People don't talk much about the soul anymore. It's so much easier to write a resume than to craft the spirit. But a resume is cold comfort on a winter night. And when you're sad or broke or lonely, or when you've gotten back the test results, and they're not that good. Here's my resume. I'm a good mother to 3 children. I have tried never to let my profession stand in the way of me being a good parent. I no longer consider myself the center of the universe. I show up, I listen, I try to laugh. I am a good friend to my husband. I have tried to make my marriage vows mean what they say. I show up, I listen, I try to laugh. I'm a good friend to my friends and they to me. Without them, there would be nothing to say to you today because I would be a cardboard cutout. But I call them on my phone and I meet them for lunch. I show up, I listen, I try to laugh. I would be rotten or at least mediocre at my job if those things were not true. You cannot be really first rate at your work if your work is all that you are. So here's what I wanted to tell you today. Get a life, a real life, not a manic pursuit of the next promotion, the bigger paycheck, or the larger house. Get a life. Get a life in which you are generous. Look around at the azaleas in the suburban neighborhood where you grew up. Look at a full moon hanging silver in a black, black sky on a cold night. And realize that life is the best thing ever and that you have no business taking life for granted. Care so deeply about its goodness that you want to spread it around. Work in a soup kitchen. Be a big brother or sister. All of you want to do well, but if you do not do good, then doing well will never be enough. The columnist said, get a life. Christ said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Both provide better insights than all the pronouncements of all the high-protein diet doctors combined, because they redirect our cravings from what is spiritually unhealthy to what is spiritually nourishing. Granted, Jesus also said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, but there is no paradox here. Jesus is advocating a seismic shift in lifestyle in which we now begin to hunger for the right thing. You'll be happy, Jesus says, when you hunger for righteousness. Conversely, he says, when I am the core of your existence, you'll never hunger again for what you shouldn't have. So what would Jesus eat? What would Jesus order at the McDonald's window of heaven? Peace and purity, generosity and gratitude, faithfulness and righteousness. That would be his order. These are the minimum daily requirements for a life that will last forever. Verse 44 concludes with a recurring refrain throughout this whole bread of life discourse that you've heard the past few Sundays. I will raise that person on the last day. This persistent theme serves to remind us that it is only Jesus, the true bread of life, who can impart the gift of eternal life to the faithful. It is an end times message aimed at eliciting endurance and patience in this present age. As a crowd listening to Jesus, we have only to believe in his proclamation, "I am the bread of life." We have only to listen to it and believe in it in order to become immediate participants in that enduring and amazing and unmerited gift. The presence of God is found in the presence of the life of Jesus, makes this bread accessible on a daily basis. Jesus is not only the eternal bread, he is our daily bread. "I am the bread of life," Jesus said. "You will be filled. You will be fat. You will be happy." Amen.